Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where we have quadrupled our audience in the break alone. We are live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Bedford, 1933 Airport Freeway, if you want to come see us. And why the heck would you not? Clearly, Mike is in a sassy mood. We got giveaways going on. You can enter to win a pair of tickets from Miller Lite for the Cowboys game, and you get us. What more do you need, Corey?
Nothing.
They duplicated a Buffalo Wild Wings.
This does look exactly like one that we were at before.
Yeah, it looks like the one in Fort Worth that we were at.
The first thing I ask Corey, I go, hey, were we already at this one this year?
Yeah, now this is a
little bit
different.
It is amazing. It's like it's the same layout, the exact same, like, I guess, square footage inside. They have the upstairs.
The same service staff?
I think it's a different service staff.
Oh, okay. Are you sure about that?
I'm 99.9%
sure. See, he's not even 100% sure.
That is true. But we would
love... Because I drank Brass Monkeys at that
That's
one.
Right. You definitely did.
I do remember that. So we'll see if Mike comes up with a ridiculous drink concoction to make happen today. But we are live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Bedford. Would love it if you would come out and see us. It's me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, and the man who should have had a better time at the Stars game last night, Chris Strong. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. And if you could, Chris, just go ahead and let's go with the happy thing. Give me cut number one, and we'll just talk about that part from the Stars game.
Dallas taking the game to Nashville in this third. Here's a shot, and they score! The NHL debut from Leon Bischel. And he scores to make it 3-1.
So Bischel shows up on the scene. Unfortunately, when they said 3-1, it was not an advantage of the Stars. The Nashville Predators win 4-1, which makes me look really stupid because yesterday I boldly declared that the Stars would win by at least 3 goals, when what I should have said was crappy Nashville should have won by at least 3 games. This is a terrible loss, and I know people are going to be like, Nashville is better than their record. They have been awful this year. Awful, awful, awful. And you didn't get smoked by Nashville. You got smoked by Nashville. And Chris, you can correct me. I know you were at the game if you think I'm wrong. You got smoked by Nashville in a 3-minute segment. But other than that, I didn't think that Nashville was the better team out there.
Definitely not. No. And 2 goals from Ryan O'Reilly, which just hurts Stars fans even more with the Blues Stars rivalry back in the day. Yeah, it hurt. And Otter was 10-0 at the AAC going into that game. So you thought it would be an easy win. Definitely just the opposite.
Do you think it's unfair that they count him as 10-1 at home going into this game because he lost that one game in Finland?
Yeah.
Can you just be like, that wasn't a home game?
Okay, hold on. So that's the only other home loss that he has?
That he had so was the game in Finland.
Okay, so he's 10-1 right now.
Yes, at
basically.
The AAC.
All right, and the one they had in Finland.
And this was the one last night.
That was the Ducks, right? That was the Ducks they lost to?
The Panthers?
The Panthers. Okay, so... You know that's they only have one loss at home then,
and it's they have two
and okay that's the Ducks. They lost to the Ducks at home. Now they've lost to Nashville. That's 32-30. Are those the bottom rung of hockey? Maybe it's one of those things where you just kind of roll into it and you're just like, hey, tonight we're just going to cruise out there. And they weren't mentally prepared. I mean, it sounded like DeBoer wasn't excited about their competitiveness level last night.
Sure.
Whenever you hear him saying we didn't match them at all, you actually don't want to try to match them. You want to lead them. And that's what the Stars didn't do last night very well.
Now, Chris, I did want to know, since you got to see it in person, Leon Bischel, his NHL debut, he got brought up. We talked about this a couple of days ago when Matt Dumbo was being taken off the ice, and they said maybe it was for precautionary reasons. Then when you saw Bischel was being brought up, you're like, oh, maybe not so precautionary reasons. What did you see from the newest player on the Dallas Stars that I think expectations over the long run are really, really high for him.
This guy is gargantuan
in person.
He is huge. He's 6'6 without skates, so when he's skating around on the ice, I was sitting up in the 300s at the AAC, he still looks like a freaking statue out there. He looks huge. And at the end of the game, they reveal like just the players who had the best expectations versus reality. He just did fantastic last night defensively and with the goal, obviously his first career goal. So it's amazing going to a game where you know that player could end up playing 1,000 games with your franchise, and him being the first round pick in 2022, it was just amazing seeing his debut in person.
Unfortunately, he can't celebrate the goal afterwards because it was a loss. And you know how it is. When you lose, you can't be like, I did great, because you're part of a team.
That is a little tricky. Like, you score your first ever NHL goal in your first ever NHL game, you should logically be fired up, but it's 3-1 in that moment. And, like, obviously, just a few minutes later, I think Nashville scored again to make it back to 4-1. And you're like, oh, okay. So hopefully they gave him the puck. And they're like, hey, good job, kid. But like, and then DeBoer is like, hey, but everybody else on the team sucked. Mm-hmm. Or as he said, our video review coaches were our best players tonight by far. That is the sign that it wasn't a good night.
That's
for
how you go after your team right there.
Yeah.
When you say something like that.
Because, like, you know, what do? You just sit there and you're like, yeah. You got a good point. The 3 minutes really screwed us over in the second period. Otherwise, it felt like there were plenty of times that the Stars were controlling the pace of play. They just, you know, didn't actually score goals during those times, which is kind of the point of this entire thing.
Yeah, and I guess one of the things you're talking about didn't actually score goals. When was the last time Jason Robertson scored? Jason Robertson, I believe, has scored twice since like the end of October.
Yikes.
And like that, and I know he had the injury before the season and everything, but that's one of those players that you're relying on to show up and be something special for your team. I know you need a little more of that from him.
Okay, I like that you're saying this because we can include him in the conversation.
Okay.
Because the person that I was going to throw out there as part of this is, where has Logan Stankoven gone?
That's a good question, too.
And so, I mean, if you go back, like a month? He looked like he was going to unquestionably the leader in the Calder Cup for the top rookie. But since November 15th, he has 2 assists in 11 games.
Okay.
And that's it. So you're right. That's problematic because not that your only goals will come from those two, but obviously you're thinking these guys will put a lot of points up on the board. And yeah, you're right. Holy cow. Jason Robertson, 2 goals.
Yeah.
You're right. Since the end of October. That is really, really terrible. I didn't realize. I'm sorry. I'm kind of thrown up. I knew it was not good.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize it was that bad. And then you have to go back. We're a month now since Stankoven, I believe, scored a goal. He had goals in back-to-back games in the middle of November. But since then, nothing. You got 2 assists since then. So Stankoven, your newer player, Robertson, your veteran that you're expecting to generate offense. And I'm not saying that only looks like goals, but you are expecting to generate some offense. And you've got a big fat bag of nothing from them.
Yeah, I mean, that's also two separate lines right there that struggle because of it, because it puts a lot of weight on Wyatt Johnson and Rope on the top half with Robertson not, you know, bringing his end of it up. And then Mason Marchment and Duchesne, who are an electric duo together. I don't know if that's a shakeup for DeBoer or if he's like, no, we'll just ride through this and we'll eventually get out of it. But that is one of those things to keep an eye on, because those two guys, obviously the young players on the team, I guess Robertson's starting to work his way into that seasoned vet vibe.
Yeah.
But that's two guys that you need delivering on those two front lines, because those are your scoring lines. So do it. Get back at it, man.
And I think they're really missing Pavelski on that top line.
Yeah.
We're kind of understating how important Pavelski was to Robertson in those first couple seasons. Like, just getting the assists straight to Pavelski, the dishes that Pavelski would give to Robertson, not having Pavelski on the team anymore, Yeah, I think that's really hurt Robertson's production this season.
I think that's a very fair point. The good news is you don't get to sit and think about it too long. You've got St. Louis on Saturday night, and this is part of a lengthy homestand. I'm pretty sure 6 games for the Stars. So though they did lose last night, they have been freaking dominant at home. So you would love to see them go back and pick up the 2 points Saturday against St. Louis. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Bedford.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Coming up next, kryptonite for NFL contenders. Can these flaws be overcome? Let's talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Winchester snaps it. Placement is down. Wright's kick is up. And the kick is good! Good! And the Kansas City Chiefs do it again!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Bedford off of Airport Freeway. If you want to come see us, we've got Cronuts up here. Obviously, the most delicious wings in the Metroplex. Some low, low beer prices for you. And Corey, you've already got some presents this morning, too.
Yeah, we had a Tolo bring me some HEB coffee because I did mention the other day that I've run out of coffee. So, and
did
this
that kind of feel like in your face,
it's Mike? Pecan flavor, too. Like, it's amazing. So that's Texas pecan. And then we got some ornaments. We got some fresh made salsa. And you know I love me some salsa, so we'll have to split this and divvy it up somehow. And I think he works at Lockheed.
Oh,
and so they brought us this model airplane, dude. That's dope. That is
very
awesome.
Cool.
Thank you very much, Tolos. You do not have to bring us stuff, but we appreciate it.
You can just show up. So that's...
If I throw this, will it fly? I don't know how that works.
It'll fly till it falls.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know if that's how it works. So
he said no. He said don't throw it.
Okay. I wanted to run through this. This is pretty interesting from Fox Sports. Some of the potential, fatal flaws for the best teams in the NFL, and I'm curious if you guys think that maybe each individual flaw will do this team in. I want to start with the Detroit Lions. Can a banged-up defense finish out the season strong? Because we've talked about it. They've had injury after injury after injury defensively.
Look, at some point, you run out of talent, and you're going to start looking at that going, yeah. And I don't know exactly what they're going to be getting back by the end of the season that's going to give them that push, that's going to get them over the top. But they can't really add anything but people off the street at this point. So that's where I get a little bit concerned about that, because we've seen the Cowboys have to do that, have a really strong season, and then they're looking at cornerbacks going, all right, that dude was on his couch about 2 weeks ago, and now he's our starter. And I know that they've been preparing that way. They play a certain style of football, too, that really is aggressive, so they need it. But, man, I think their offense has enough to carry it the way that they play football offensively. It's just going to be a lot closer. You're not going to see those blowouts that we've seen a couple times against those real bad teams.
They've impressed me after the Cowboys game by winning. They just keep winning. So
they do.
I hear it. I hear you. I think that they could. But until somebody knocks them off, that being said, I don't know if you have any Rams questions, but it's just going to be interesting. I do think the NFC is pretty crappy. So I could see Detroit losing, I'm assuming they're going to get the bye.
Yes.
We'll see if Philadelphia sneaks up and gets it from them, but I could see Detroit losing because of what you said, because of the injuries on defense.
Okay, and I'm going to change this next one because I don't really agree with this line of logic anymore. It said for the Chiefs, can they overcome the Patrick Mahomes turnover bug? Well, I'm going to point out that he'd thrown a pick in one of their last 6 games. And so I'm not going to – so while his overall season stats might seem like less Mahomes-y than usual, he's only got a pick in one game. Now, I know he threw 2 in that game, but only in one of their last 6 games. So I'm actually going to switch it. Is the challenge at left tackle going to take out the Kansas City Chiefs? Because you talked about picking up people off the streets and everything like that. They just signed DJ Humphreys, but they have some struggles injury-wise on their offensive line, specifically at left tackle. And so I know injury is going to be a concern for a lot of these teams, but forget the turnovers. I say, is left tackle going to be the downfall of the Chiefs?
What's crazy about that, Kevin, is somehow Mahomes has been able to eke out wins despite that.
Yeah.
You know, and he has been looking like he's been running around a lot more than typical this season. It feels like he's felt the pressure a lot faster. And while he is a magician, a lot of times doing that almost every play kind of wears you out. So I think it's going to wear them out whenever they get to the best teams in the NFL, and that's in the playoffs. But I still think that he has that special quality that can get them past a game, but they're going to have to eke it out in a different manner.
I hear you. Don't give them the ball at the game on the line.
That's true.
Agreed. Yeah.
Be like the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Don't give them the ball back. We all thought, oh, my gosh, if they kick this field goal, now they got the fourth down play, and then Josh Allen ran the ball all the way into the end zone and ended the game. Yeah, it would be their downfall as long as you get them down by more than two scores. So if it's a one-score game and they can have us three blocking and somehow Patrick Mahomes will seem to get them in field goal range to win the game.
Now the Bills – go ahead.
Did you have a Bills conversation?
Yes.
Okay, I had a thought with you real quick.
Okay.
Will Evan Engram ever play a complete season healthy? Okay. No. All right, so we've established that.
Because he's
done.
Out for the season
again,
is
that
right?
Yeah, with a torn labrum.
I mean, it sucks, but, like, unfortunately...
His career.
It's just, that's the way it is in his career. For the Bills, all right, we got a couple of things. Will the run defense, and maybe some people think game mismanagement, derail them? Because we've talked about the Bills have run into a couple of dicey efforts defensively. Do you think their defense, specifically their run defense, could be their undoing?
It definitely could be. Their defense isn't the strongest defense on the field. Their secondary is actually pretty good.
Yes.
But their defense overall,
partially because they play a ton of defensive backs.
Yeah, and you know, one thing Joe Brady's done a very good job of this year is that running game is steady. It's not, it doesn't blow you away, but it's steady. It's like somebody described the DeMarco Murray season as like a train, and he was always on time. He was going to get you the yards you liked. He wasn't going to do much more than get you the yards you needed. They've actually, Cook's been really nice at picking up extra yards, yeah, getting touchdowns. Ray Davis, their backup, not the owner of the Rangers, Mike, has done a pretty good job of picking up those things too, but I think they do a good job of balancing what their running defense starts. So I think that it won't be that big of a problem unless somebody goes, this is the only thing we're focusing on beating today.
I would say on all of these, the answer is going to be yes. You're picking out their weakness and saying, yes, will this be their downfall? Usually yes, but we go back to last year. Would the downfall of the Cowboys be Dak Prescott pooping his pants again in the playoffs? And
your answer would probably be
and
yes.
And other things went wrong, but like, usually it will be your weakness. It really stinks when it's your strength that lets you down in the playoffs.
That is true.
And the Bills' strength is explosive plays offensively. And so if they can get those, I think they can combat their run defense.
Okay, so I want to ask you about an off-the-field issue then, maybe for the Eagles. Because, I mean, we could talk about their lack of explosive plays, but are bad vibes going to do the Eagles in? Because that feels like that's what screwed them over last year.
Yeah.
And then they've had to do a lot of damage control this week about, no, I didn't mean like they're not friends. They just like don't, I don't know.
They need to roast marshmallows together or
they
something.
Do.
They need to sit around a fire and come together. Because that thing feels like last year it started to fall apart. And I don't know if it's something personal between the quarterback and the receiver here.
Yeah.
Like something seems to have happened that one of them is really mad at the other, and they can't get over it. So I think that's going to be a problem for them. I don't think that those teammates can work together and win in the playoffs.
I've seen teams that don't maybe get along the best still win it all.
Yeah.
So you could be right, but, I mean, you don't have to get along to play great on the field.
And then just real quick for the Ravens.
At one point, Michael Irvin stabbed his teammate with some scissors.
And how'd they do after that?
I don't know.
They weren't any good.
No.
Oh, was that after they were done?
Yeah, that was after they were done winning the Super Bowl.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Bedford. Coming up next, let's talk with Dallas Cowboys owner and GM Jerry Jones. And depending on how that goes, just how close are we to teleportation?
Okay.
Next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Bedford. 1933 Airport Freeway. If you want to come see us, we're going to talk with Jerry Jones in just a moment. But I also wanted to remind you guys, tomorrow we'll be at, oh my goodness, Martin House Brewing in Fort Worth. So what's happening right now is there's a box of Cronuts here and also what kind of looks like a murder knife.
It is a murder knife.
Mike is stabbing the box of Cronuts with the knife, and I did not expect that to happen right when we came back on air.
Well, I was just trying to get the knife put into a place where it would be safe, you know? Where
I think it's funny that our Tolo came to a Buffalo Wild Wings. We love him, Dan. He did bring Cronuts. We love, and he does, wherever he's getting these Cronuts from, I think they're the best Cronuts out of the Cronuts. But he brought a knife.
Mm-hmm.
But we're at a restaurant, and they probably have, like, 200 knives? How many knives do you think
that's
Buffalo
a good point.
Wild Wings has?
That is, I hadn't really thought that through. That's a good point.
He's just carrying it around in his car, yeah. You know? It was just there, so he was like, I'll just take that in with me.
Well, I did have one more question I wanted to ask. We didn't get a chance to hit it on the other side. Do you think that the Ravens will lose a playoff game because of Justin Tucker?
Oh, man. That is a very good question. Yes. I do. Now,
I could see that.
Is it because they put themselves in the position that they don't get the what they need and they have to rely on him? Yeah.
I could also see that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think their offense stalls out a lot of times because they know they can rely on Justin Tucker, but this year's been a lot different. So,
and if they fall behind, they've had difficulty in the playoffs. We've seen that time and again.
Yeah, but if you're going into it knowing that Justin Tucker is kind of in this blip mode that he's in, then you got to be... You got to make sure your plan is built so you can build it around him.
Right now, courtesy of Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers, Ford is the best in Texas. It is Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Hey, man. Good morning, Kevin, Corey, Mike. Happy holidays, you guys.
Indeed. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much. Same to you and your family. We always get great insight from you about across the NFL stuff in addition to the Cowboys. I'm just curious, are you surprised that Bill Belichick decided to go with North Carolina and that means he'll probably never coach in the NFL again?
Well, I don't really have thoughts there. It would be surprised is not the word for it. I know that his explanation has sounded very pure. There's no question he loves to coach the game. There's aspects to college that I think would be interesting. You've seen several coaches, Saban, but those guys that were in pro and went to college and did pretty well. It's a little makeup of responsibility. What's interesting is the changing landscape in college right now and his willingness to take on the challenges of NIL and those types of issues. And so this time in his career, it sounds like he's on to challenges, and he's certainly up to it when it comes to coaching and as a person.
What do you think, Jerry, is that thing that differentiates the coaching lifestyle in the NFL from the coaching lifestyle in college? Is it just the recruiting part of it? Because, I mean, adding a GM to the college base is kind of cool. But is there something different that just makes coaching in the NFL that much more difficult?
Well, I think the recruiting aspect of college distinguishes it from the pros. That you don't have a recruiting situation to the extent that you have in college. Now, that's been mitigated to some degree by the NLSU and the transferable issues. And so all of that is in transformation as opposed to, let's say, the way it used to be. I guess that's the definition of transformation. But bottom line is that it's a challenging time in both leagues today, as we're seeing as we have our season. And I've always thought that it was a unique skill set that made some of the great college coaches. I did my master's thesis when I was in college, and it was the oral communication in modern day football was the title of it. But I got to interview a lot of the great ones of that time, Woody Hayes and Paul Bear Bryant, and many, many of the names that were a front at that time. And really, they were more front names than you would have today in college. And it was so interesting to visit with them and informative. And I know one of them, Barry Bryant, said, "You take the fake out of me, there's not much left." Mm. In other words, he said, "I am a salesman, I'm an actor." So it was. It's interesting, and it's a good discussion, good comparison.
Yeah,
I've seen, of course. I've brought my first two coaches, Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer, both came straight out of college and were outstanding successes.
Do you, would you ever have any interest in bringing another college coach into the NFL?
Well, again, that's not something I'd speculate on, and. But I've always looked at the situation, looked at the person, as opposed to necessarily looking at a category of in-college coach, out-of-college coach, ex-coach. I've just looked at our situation relative to their backgrounds, and it's not certainly you wouldn't want to dismiss the fact that you could go to college. Some teams in the NFL have done real well going to college.
The other thing I was kind of curious, does that concern the NFL and NFL owners that college might be a better path, that some of the best talent when it comes to coaching might say, you know, I'd rather be here than in the NFL?
Well, I think that it was really creates more of a proving ground or more. I think the entire collegiate scene as it pertains to pro football is generally a major plus in pro football because that's where you get to initially see whether the puppy will bite or not in terms of the player. And obviously how he's coached and the systems he's in and that type of thing has a bearing on how he played. But I think the more emphasis you have on coaching, I think the longer young players play in college, the better it is for the NFL when we get them.
Now, y'all have four more regular season games left, and it starts with Carolina this Sunday, which you can hear right here on 105.3 The Fan. I know people are like, hey, what questions should be answered over the last four games? Do you view it that way at all, or are you like, hey, if we just keep stacking up wins, who knows? Maybe something can fall our way and the playoffs could still happen.
That's the latter, just what you finished the sentence up with. The thing that I've continued to be and will continue to emphasize is each play, each series, let's go out and play as well as we can. We're going to be playing a lot of our depth. We're going to be playing a lot of the future out there. So going out and playing as well as we can. Now, that sounds trite, but it's certainly the case here. And we want everybody making the plays and having an opportunity to have success. Success is very important in terms of the evolving of any of us, and you build on success. I've done things that I didn't know how it was going to work, or didn't know if that point of energy should be there, and damn, it works. I'm gonna do that again, and so that's habit forming. On the other hand, going the other way is habit forming too, in my view and belief. So, we want to go out there and win every down.
Now, speaking of that on-field success, I was kind of curious. The Dallas Cowboys became the first team ever to surpass $10 billion in valuation via Forbes. Is it tough to enjoy or celebrate a thing like that when this has been a tough on-the-field season?
Well, I don't necessarily have the same feeling. I felt the same way about making a first down when I bought the Dallas Cowboys. And the performance on the field is first and foremost. I'll never forget Tex Ram. I was riding along with him, first time I'd ever visited with him. And we were actually going to see Coach Landry in my first visit with him. And I was looking for something to say. It was awkward. And I said, boy, Tex, I wouldn't be sitting here riding shotgun had you not done a great job with the Cowboys. We rode along another quarter, and he finally looked over and said, this would be a hell of a business if you didn't have to play them football games.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what in the world? What does that mean? I know what it means now.
Do you feel like fans kind of have that perception that y'all do a hell of a job with this business if it weren't for playing the football games?
Well, I think that I can assure everyone that the two are inextricably together. It's the same thing. And I differentiate many, many decisions, financial decisions, from other business I do. And they are not the same. It's not the same kind of bottom line at all. It's entertainment, but if you go too far entertainment wise, you'll come back empty-handed. It's tradition, and it's competition. And now you got to have some business in there to keep it from being a handicap. But other than that, it's about winning these football games.
We've seen Bryce Young have a bunch of change since he got to Carolina. How much? And, I mean, he looks like he's kind of found a little bit of a groove with Canales at the head coach position there. How much does a change of coaching affect a quarterback, especially a young quarterback like that?
Well, again, I think that the most important thing that changes them is experience. And obviously, if you can have continuity and you are continually doing the same thing, whether it be scheme or whether it be reading or the type of routes your receivers run. All of those things, there is no doubt that the more repetition that a quarterback has as he comes in the league, the better he gets. And it's a rare thing to have a quarterback come in the league and have immediate success. So all of that is what you know has got to be there, and you've got to endure when you start with a very young quarterback. And we've had young quarterbacks, we've had outstanding young quarterbacks before. And boy, after they've had hundreds and, if you will, thousands of repetition, and certainly game type situations playing in games, they get better. And that's what's happening to him. He's had a lot of repetition in game type situations, and he's getting better.
Thank you very much, good sir. We appreciate the time this week. We will catch up with you again next Friday, and best of luck against Carolina.
Sounds good. Let's have a good weekend. Bye.
There you go, Jerry Jones, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Man, I didn't get a chance. Obviously, I don't know if it went out over air, but it was getting harder and harder to hear his answers. And I get an opportunity to ask him about tasting raccoon.
Yeah, that was something that you really wanted to know about. Have you ever been interested in that? Like, what's the wildest thing you've ever eaten?
I mean, look who you're asking.
You Wild turn, wings
you
from
should
Buffalo.
Turn to your right and ask Mike. Mm-hmm. I'm the wrong person. To ask, what daring food choices have you made today?
I remember being nervous eating snails and frog, alligator.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I haven't regretted eating any of them. I'm not a fan of liver. I remember eating liver as a kid, and I didn't like the taste of that.
Man, I
believe that's
fried,
a cow's liver.
Give me some
right?
fried livers. I love that a little bit. Yeah, some fried chicken livers. Oh, those are so good.
Well, and that was one of the things that Leggett threw out there. He said, I eat raccoons like a raccoon that you see in the trash. I hunt it. I kill it. I skin them, cook them, eat them, all of that. And then he said,
with his hands?
Is it like a rotisserie kind of thing? Throw it in the. How does this work?
That I'm not totally sure about, but also he said he had one on Thanksgiving.
Well, there you go.
Now, I don't know if that's helping him catch the ball at the goal line. It feels
not.
Like it's not.
If raccoons tasted good to great, uh-huh. like let's just say your cow, your pig, and your chicken,
mm-hmm.
then we would eat more of it.
I have a question about that. I think you're right. But I wonder if the disconnect was sometimes you see a little bit more of an individual personality from a raccoon versus a chicken and a cow. I do seriously think
people... Because they kind of smile,
yeah,
kind of cute.
Yeah, and they're like kind of mischievous and stuff.
I don't think it has anything to do with that.
You don't?
No.
So if dog tastes delicious, you think...
Yes, I do. I think that if dog tastes delicious, that we as humans would decide that dog is a main dish. Now, we all go...
I'll disagree with you on that, but I hear you.
But, like, dog probably doesn't taste good.
Horse, you're probably right.
Horse probably doesn't taste good. But I get it that we use horses...
I
don't know. Cows, I've been around cows. They're pretty stupid.
They are very dumb.
I think they're
chickens are dumb too, right? Like chickens are very dumb, which you can make a whole lot of chickens on a farm,
but
right?
But people have pet pigs.
Yeah, pigs are dumb.
Like there's a lot
that's true. And we eat pigs.
Oh, we love eating pigs.
That's a fair point.
Mostly we love eating wild
ones. I hear what you're saying. I can see your opinion. I don't think you're totally wrong. I think some people feel that way, but I just wonder, as humankind,
it's a fair question.
If the thing tasted awesome, like raccoons, we would probably have here at Buffalo Wild Wings some raccoon.
Kevin.
So we'll be on the lookout for the evolution of Buffalo Wild Wings,
Kevin,
when it comes to that.
Moments ago, Mike pointed out that your friends in paradise lost to the Malakoff Tigers. Yeah,
they did. I actually
knew
that last night. I was pretty invested in seeing how that would go.
Yeah, you were keeping track of that when you were refreshing.
27-19 Malakoff. They're playing at Jerry World
for the state championship.
And aren't they the defending state champions?
I believe they are. And so that we did that video, Mike. Do you think that's been the thing that's kind of helped Malakoff go further?
Yeah, I think when we gave them a shout out, it inspired them.
Yeah, it charged them up.
We were planning on losing, but now this guy. Corey and Mike,
yeah.
I guess,
yeah, that's
yelled
our name.
Shouted us out, and now Malakoff versus Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, big time game right there.
Good luck to the teams that lost.
Okay,
next year.
Yeah, good luck. There's always next year.
Yeah.
If you were a senior, then it's probably you're never going to play football the rest of your life,
unless you're going to college to play football.
And most likely, you're not.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. So Corey, you've teased this the last couple days, and I haven't got to hear the damn story, and I need to hear the damn story. How close are we to teleportation? Maybe it's because this Halloween I finally watched The Fly for the first time.
Ooh.
I think there's a lot of problems that might come along with this.
Okay, so teleportation is something that I think about every day when I drive to work because our office, it takes me an hour to drive, which is basically a 30-minute drive. Every day, it takes me about an hour, sometimes even more. And I was just sitting there thinking to myself, when will we be able to have teleporters in our bedrooms and just be able to teleport into work? Like, you can just send a designation, and it sends you to where you're supposed to go. And somebody texted me or tweeted me and said, hey, we did it like 50 years ago. And I was like, what are you talking about? Why don't we have teleporters then? Our current scientific understanding, teleportation, as it's commonly depicted in science fiction films, much like The Fly, is not considered feasible due to fundamental challenges in physics and the preservation of complex biological structures. My understanding, though, is that we have, with like electrons and neurons and atoms, we've been able to send some of those things, but not like actual full bodies where we can restack all the cellular stuff back together and get it going. But Kevin, I want this. Like, this is something now that I've chosen is going to be what I push for the private sector to really dive into.
Teleportation.
Because I don't think the government, if they did get it, they would probably be like, we're not letting people know about this.
Yeah, it's
but
impossible.
The private sector, however, private sector would do it and be like, now let's sell it to the masses.
I have a bigger question for you guys.
All right.
I think that's a great thing you said.
Thanks.
I watch Bad Santa with my wife. All I've never watched it.
Oh, did you like it?
I thought it was pathetic. I watched 25 minutes of it, hit pause, and Sue was like, there's no point to this. And so I said, I agree. Let's go 5 more minutes. And we went to the 30-minute marker and turned it off.
Wow. I mean,
what happens in this movie? I mean, obviously, Billy Bob Thornton is a horrible person. He steals.
He's a bad Santa.
It's true.
So, like, I don't get the point of the movie.
He turns his life around to a certain extent. He's still not a
with
great...
With the bartender?
Yeah, and the kid. He forms a really, like, lovely relationship with the snotty kid, and he stands up for him, and you realize that kid has nobody to take care of him. And so Billy Bob Thornton, in his weird kind of effed up way,
right,
becomes like a guardian to him.
Should I stuck longer than 30 minutes?
If you didn't like the first 30 minutes, I don't want to pretend like it turns into some super upbeat story the rest of the way. People get murdered. There's like a lot of... Yeah.
I don't remember that part.
Yeah.
I just remember the lady from Gilmore Girls saying the thing.
Yes.
My wife goes, they made a second one of these as we
the
turned
second
it
one
off.
Is not good.
I never saw it. I never saw that.
I don't know.
If you got it through the first 30 minutes and you're like, I don't care for this, I think you should just move on with your life. I do not think you will see enough in the last hour to be like, okay, I get it.
I know when I watched it, I was like, it's fine. Like, it was fine, but it wasn't something that I was really moved by. Maybe I need to go revisit it, though. I've seen almost all the Christmas movies.
I was trying to find a Christmas movie that we hadn't seen, and I was like, well, people have said this is good.
Have you watched Hot Frosty yet?
No. Yeah.
I don't think you'll like... You do not seem like you like the Hallmarky, cheesy kind of romance
Probably
Christmas
not,
movies.
No.
Are you looking for a more like upbeat holiday movie?
I don't know.
Because Bad Santa's not particularly
what was the
upbeat.
One, what was the one on that was on Netflix that had Nina Dobrev?
Love Hard.
Love Hard. That's,
Love Hard's that a fun movie.
That one's a fun Christmas movie, I think.
It's on
like.
Netflix.
I will say this. I did laugh on some of Billy Bob Thornton's one-liners, like when the kids were getting on his lap and stuff. Like it was
Fraggle Stick Car.
But then you understood why he's been married so many times.
Yeah,
right?
And that movie said he's been married twice. Maybe at that point he was only married
twice.
I wonder how much.
Okay, but he doesn't have to be the same as his character from Bad Santa. I wanted to throw out a sports thing. I know this is a really hard turn we're about to make, but Lou Gehrig's 1937 World Series jersey has hit the auction block. It is expected, courtesy of SCP Auctions, it's expected to sell for more than $4 million, and they have all kinds of photo match stuff to show that it was the same jersey and everything like that. Like, Mike, I know you're not going to
be
position to bid for it,
no.
But when you hear about these like all-time amazing items of sports memorabilia coming up, don't you think it's just inherently cool, even if you're not going to win it?
Yes. Let me ask you this. How many people do you think are putting serious bids on this? Like 10? 50?
At the most. Like, I think
like
10
who
at
has,
the most.
If you're paying $4 million for a Lou Gehrig jersey, you have to have $100 million, right?
For sure. But I think like that 8 to 10 people who are bidding, they're like...
Yeah, I'm getting this almost no matter what.
Exactly.
But there is a limit they have.
Exactly.
Like McFarlane, dude.
Yeah, so...
What's crazy about this now is, Kevin, you know, the 80s, 90s, you probably had, what, 10 millionaires that were willing to bid on stuff like this? And now
sure.
You probably have hundreds of thousands of potential millionaires that are willing to bid on stuff like that.
Tell them about the Aaron Judge ball.
Oh, man.
Did you see what it sold for?
Do we have time for... I don't think we have time for that right
we'll,
now. But we definitely will. We definitely
will. Pick it up at some point in the show. Coming up next, we're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Bedford. Let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Plus, maybe Thursday Night Football. Or is Major League Baseball trying to dunk on Aaron Judge? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.